past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient. Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without a self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that brews this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and others, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So a reminder that these Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning? June.
Recently I talked in group about not quite knowing what our teachers mean by the mentor.
Uh-huh.
And looking for a long time and thinking it was this, basically really thinking it was really kind of like a voice in my head, but it was kind of different from the voice in the head. Uh-huh. But it was still a voice that talked. And one of the monks said something that made me see it differently. That perhaps the mentor is that place where awareness kind of nudges attention. Say, come on back,
uh-huh.
Come on back.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it is. Uh-huh. But what I've noticed is that I'm trying to nail it down. I want to know what the mentor is so I can use it for my benefit. And that's just good to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good to see. So there's been this inquiry into what is the mentor? What is this that the teachers refer to as the mentor? And seeing that there's just been this desire to nail it down, to know what the mentor is so you can use it.
Yeah. So I can be with everybody else because everybody else seems to know exactly what it is. And it talks to them on their recording device. And they put it in the left hand, there's the mentor, just saying all this grand stuff doesn't happen for me. I can say some grand stuff, but it doesn't feel like the mentor talks. It feels like the editor talking, kind of regurgitating whatever.
You mentioned that a monk had said something to you about the mentor possibly being...
Well, I don't remember exactly what the monk said.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of what I heard.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the reminder. Maybe the mentor is just that. That moment of grace when I've been off in La La Land and awareness drops in, back into the body, back to the breath.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I just wondered what that seemed to have resonated with you.
Well, it seems like a good place to hang the label mentor for now.
Yeah.
But there again, I'm very aware of wanting to know that that's what it is. Yes, that's it. That's what people are talking about.
Yeah. So just wanting to know, so that if there was a knowing what the mentor was, then it would be part of the whole. It seems like you'd be part of the group. Everybody knows what the mentor is. This is how you use it, and it sounds like there's still an investigation going on.
As of this last meditation that we just did, yes. Because that's when it dropped in that that's what was, that's where I've been with it. Uh-huh. It was wanting to know it. So basically, I can use it, really.
Yeah.
It thinks that that would be very useful.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with any of that except just kind of be open.
Just noticing.
Yeah.
And who's to say the mentor isn't right there assisting with the noticing with that, you know. Like you said, just having that experience this morning of this dropping in. Wow, that's interesting. This is what's going on with the mentor. And it may be that some folks this morning have something to contribute to that. Rebecca.
Well, that does tie in with something I wanted to look at. So I'm reading I just finished the section in the perennial philosophy about idolatry. Mm-hmm. And it's a very good section. I recommend everyone read it. But the thing that I'm seeing about that is that the old ideas of idolatry just are not vogue, in vogue right now in mm-hmm. the world. It's not making some kind of carbon image and bowing down to it. That's just not the temptation for educated people in the society, is what he was saying, But the forms of idolatry that we take are things around ideas or mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And what I saw in that was and I can't tell if I'm talking really loudly because my ears are stopped up. Am I screaming at you? Or is this okay?
It's fine.
Okay. the way that I saw this was after I was reading the section, and I put it down, and I was making my evening doing my two-handed recording exercise, and the right hand was just talking about just what I want to see for the world, and just the difference that I hope my life makes in the world, and all of these wonderful things that are happening, through practice and through all different kinds of workshops, and just what a genuine hope for a difference in the world that I see. And then the recorder went to the second hand, and what feels like the movement that I would put a name called the mentor on was, or you could just live. The world is really fine, and it's already been saved. It really doesn't need saving, and it's really already magnificent. It doesn't need improvement. It's sort of like just this kind of a pop, 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 kind of a wake up call. And she said, and I don't mean this unkindly, but really, why don't we just live? Mm-hmm. And rather than keeping, go to gratitude. Because, I wake up every morning to that other wonderful reading from the perennial philosophy about you know and experience the world right. If you're not thinking this is the gate of heaven, that this is already magnificent, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that in juxtaposition to this, I just want to make a difference in the world. And what just dropped in was that's the idol. That's the idolatry, that idea, that karmic, like in to so many cells of my body, because it's just so valued in my upbringing and everything. It's just you want to give your life in service to make a difference in the world. I mean, how noble is that, right? But then to see it as that's not really, it's got that sort of Messiah complex tone to it, right? And so what felt like the mentor's role was to, you know, and all that's in quotes because, you know, who knows what those words really mean, but was by moving that recorder to the second hand, felt like it just, there was a slight shift from here to here, from the right side of the body to the left side of the body, that allowed a different perspective to come in. And I could call it a realist or a no-nonsense type of personality or anything like that. It's just that it was a difference that seemed to have a little bit larger or maybe a bigger, a much larger perspective on this person on the right. And so that shift and that whole process is what I call the mentor.
So your experience of being in communication with the mentor arose around this experience of looking at idolatry. And yeah, it's interesting that you were talking into the recorder, and as you say, with the two-handed exercise, we're using the right hand for this human, and just describing all the experience.
Let's say the karma.
The karma.
And, I don't want to own that really. Yeah. I actually wanted to
with the karma, and just talking into it and about the difference that you wanted for the world. And then in that shift, it was just that. Seeing that just the physical shift, actually, of that shift from the right side to the left side of the body, shifting hands, also just allowed for a complete shift in the attention, where what you would describe as the mentor coming in and saying, "Let's keep," I mean, just the simplicity of it, you know, the world is good, the world is perfect just as it is, and just feeling that shift. And also there's just that, from what you're describing, it just sounds like that that noticing, that receiving, like that would you say it just kind of resonates with
a larger perspective? Because something I saw as you're reflecting that was, it wasn't that the right hand was talking about the difference that we want for the world. It's the difference that I want to make in the world. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a critical key difference.
Yeah.
Because there's that identity talking. And that to me was the thing that the mentor, the shift pointed out. And that's why. Actually, one other thing that was said in the left hand that she said was, the biggest contribution to the world is to live in gratitude. Mm-hmm. It's not that we don't want to contribute to the world or make our life, you know, contribute to the world. It's that it's never going to happen in that identity of, I want to make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was such an amazing insight that was just talked about of, I want to nail down the mentor so that I can use it to my advantage. So that's very different than I really want to understand what this whole mentor thing is so that I can live from a bigger place. Because there's a difference, just like I was seeing in my, you know, the difference, because I do want things for the world. Yeah. The heart wants, you know, pain and suffering to end in the world, right? As much as we can do, as much as we can help people, as much love as we can bring, all of that. It's just that there's never an I that will do it, and that's what the mentor had the larger perspective on and was pointing out that I hadn't seen while the recorder was in the right.
There's never an I that will do it. And it was that focus on the I in that original recorder what I will do, and that the mentor just pointing that out in a very simple and straightforward way.
Yeah.
And there was something else about that. But that may be it. But I think that's.
It always goes down to, for me lately, everything's sort of been boiling down to there is no me.
Yeah.
There is no.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. Just seeing that what was asked for or what was pointed to was gratitude.
Yeah.
Being enough, and that, you know, I've been aware of lately, it's those small things that actually make the biggest contribution. And in that experience, you know, with the eye, there was this whole thing about big ideas and what I could do and to change the world. And then to have that shift about, what seemingly this very small act of living in gratitude and seeing that the world is good.
Yeah. Which, of course, is the way that this being doesn't get left out of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we're engulfed in gratitude, not only, I mean, the pronouns get tricky, but you know what I mean? When, for lack of a better word, I'm engulfed in gratitude. Gratitude is what's offered. Gratitude is what's received. Yeah. Gratitude is what is. Gratitude is the energy that's added to the world, you know, whatever. Is no one is left out, because, of course, there is a no one. It's just tricky to talk about, but
there's just gratitude.
There's just gratitude.
Yeah, that gratitude seems to be such a clean place, because the feeling is just being happy about what is. Mm-hmm. You know, gratitude is a feeling of appreciation for what is. That's one way of saying it. I mean, words are so kind of insufficient when you're talking about something like that you feel so deeply. But as Rebecca was talking, I was seeing that when that is the experience that this being is having, she isn't separate and feeling cut off from what she needs. She has. And she's feeling grateful for all she has. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, it's not just gratitude, it's generosity that's available, because everything is abundant, and I'm grateful for all the... And so it seems like such a simple, like stopping to appreciate or something, but it's really a paradigm shift.
Yeah, a paradigm shift to move to that place of gratitude, and in that place, everything is available.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
and it generates, as you said, that generosity then. So it's all there, all available.
And it's also, in a kind of ironic way, a place of feeling stronger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you could almost say that's an ego thing, but in a way, there's a sense of... I don't know what's the right words I'm having.
So there's a, what I hear you saying is there's a strength
in
living in that place of gratitude. That sounds like that might be a little bit of a surprise, but, you know, to have that feeling of generosity and gratitude is would you say a connectedness to...
That's just what dropped in, was that it's not the strength of this individual being, it's the strength of aligning with the abundance of life, and knowing that's all part of what each of us and all of us is being part of that abundant... the abundance of life.
Yeah, it's a very, very powerful place to be with that,
yeah.
In alignment with that.
And I know I could say almost without exception that when I am identified, when this being is identified with egocentric karmic conditioning, there's always a neediness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a need for something. Mm-hmm. There's a lack.
Yeah.
There's a I'm not enough kind of thing, which is not a strong feeling, and it's
mm-hmm.
not an abundant feeling,
mm-hmm.
and it's a kind of a gimme kind of thing.
Yeah.
The tank is empty, and I need it full, and I don't know how to do it.
It's what was just spoken to earlier, that place of things need to be fixed. There needs to be, we need to fill this up. It needs to be, things need to be different. And how just seeing how that is absolutely not a place of strength.
Right, and it's, the other thing that I love about it is that it's easy to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Just start looking around.
It's easy to get to the generosity.
And the gratitude.
And the gratitude.
Yeah, because usually the only reason not to feel gratitude is that there's a voice talking about what's lacking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But stopping listening to that and just looking around, it's like, oh my God,
uh-huh.
this world is amazing.
Uh-huh.
My life is amazing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can say about that stopping to look around? What?
Well, that's the key kind of moment, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's the something triggering
mm-hmm.
the authenticity to
mm-hmm.
say, wait a minute.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes that happens sooner than others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can get some of these stories can really get to going, you know.
So the story will get to going, and then there's something that will trigger that movement to that.
I had a situation this morning where my cat was in the vet yesterday
mm-hmm.
having a procedure that required an anesthetic and all that, and she's like walking around like a piece of rubber, you know, not woken up yet, and I'm supposed to give her this medicine that they gave me to take home. And I read that, I usually don't. You know those papers that come? They're like a million long, and you can't read it without a magnifying glass. But for some reason, I got the thing out before I gave it to her, and I read it. And it says right on there in bold writing, even though it's tiny, it's bold, do not give this medication to cats. It can cause acute renal failure and death. And I'm going, I just spent $350 to have these people take care of my cat and they give me medicine. I just got furious. And then I called the emergency number at the veterinarian because it had that medicine listed on what I was charged for, and I wasn't sure if they had just listed it because they gave it to me or whether they had given her some in the procedure. So I call the emergency number and I get the service. And the service says, this is content. But the person that I got said, the boiled down to, they can maybe get back to you on Monday. I said, are you kidding? Did you hear me? I just said, this said the cat can die from if she had this. If we call somebody that's on call, they would have no idea if she had taken it or not. I need to get through to the vet. I just was getting all in a big flap about this and feeling like, why are people so not careful about what they're doing? And blah, blah, blah. And it was just a big Rahu, you know. The fact is, you know, I hadn't given it to her. I read it, and I was really lucky that I didn't give it to her. But it's kind of one of those things where...
That was an instance of having information just drop in that same way that the information drops in to turn the attention to generosity. Was that the correlation between that and just, you know, not knowing why... You looked at that paper this morning, but it dropped in to do it.
It dropped in to do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And but I sort of abandoned the the place of feeling grateful that that happened and that I called when I got of course I hadn't really it was just getting into a big story and letting that take over my emotional well-being and just going to anger and you know, what was motivating it was the opposite of anger. It was loving my cat and trying to care for her and trying to find out had she gotten some of that medicine before I didn't give it to her. And so, it's just this, it's kind of like how something can happen so quickly to just take you to another whole experience.
Yeah, just seeing how the motivation of love had prompted an action and then seeing how quickly that got hijacked.
And went to the opposite.
Into another, you know, the opposite.
I don't know if that was really relevant. It's just sort of bubbling around in my consciousness, and so that's how it slipped out. But
thank you.
So thank you,
Jen.
Really appreciating the conversation. The thing that I keeps staying with me, I think, from group with the guide earlier this week, is the simplicity of practice.
Yes.
And it's coming up for me in the group discussion as well, in that place of, it feels like what just dropped in a minute ago was the place of restraint and religious observance is to allow that simplicity to guide us.
Yes.
Because in that, I love that place where we started this morning with of, you know, that we go along in practice, and then we realize, of course, that how we're doing all of this is the process of suffering, right? So, you know, I, looking at whatever, you know, so a big one for me would be, okay, no, if I could just see how this goes with that and then that, you know, I think I talked about that the other night in group, you know, that sincerity and the, you know, the just bringing everything I've got to it and seeing, oh, right, that's what I do. That's the process of getting identified with the, you know, that's a piece of what causes Jen to suffer.
It's funny, as you said that, I just got this image of practicing like our hair is on fire.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, depending on our karma, you know, we can think that that's practicing like your hair is on fire, just getting it really figured out.
And we're fanning the flames.
And fanning the flames.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, I always think of, acceptance has really been up too, and I was hearing that in some of the conversations that, all right, so I was fanning the flames. That's totally all right. You know, bless our hearts, right? Because that's a piece of what it feels like. If that's what we were doing, the only way we know that's what we were doing is that we have that moment. That's what I was hearing in that first conversation. We have that moment of like, boom, oh my gosh, look at, I see what was going on there. And as soon as we see it, there can be the thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we know, we have that sense, I do anyway, that in that moment something has shifted. Mm-hmm. Now for me, then it's like, oh yeah, okay, what shifted? And how can I, and from now on, and, right?
Yeah.
But then if we just stay here, then we say, aha, okay, that's the next piece of what happens. You know?
Yeah. Wow, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there is a, you know, a really good person just really practicing all out, and that's great.
Yeah,
you know, it's just great, and then we see that, and then you know, thank you.
Yeah,
and just the simplicity of would you say more about that?
Well, the thing that I heard Sherry saying the other day was, I think we were using the example of, I choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
I choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
I choose unconditional love. Oh, I know. So, yeah, I get, I choose unconditional love. Well, but what do you think people mean when they say, gosh, I'm not sure. I choose unconditional love. And just that, there's nowhere it can take us.
Yeah.
Which is not the same as, it won't. It will. It will take us, and at least in my experience, I'll go sometimes. But there's always, the second I see that, there's always the possibility of, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
Because really, you know, being here, being in the moment, mm-hmm. it really is all completely all right.
Yeah.
It's all completely all right.
Yeah.
Everything, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's so beautiful. It's so simple. And as she says, mm-hmm. not altogether easy all the time, mm-hmm. but to just stay mm-hmm. in that place, mm-hmm. and in the face of all of it, mm-hmm. you know, coming on and go, okay, mm-hmm. you know, I choose unconditional love or whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
The focus of the attention,
mm-hmm.
You know, where we choose to focus the attention, and it can absolutely be simple. It does not have to be figured out at all.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
I don't know what the mentor is, but I choose unconditional love, you know?
Right, yeah, because, you know, I look at it, so all the things that are thrown at me, it's like, well, if I choose unconditional love, that would pretty much take care of that too, you know? I remember, it was such a strong memory for me of being a tiny, tiny person. I think I've talked about it before, but it's so funny, the stuff that comes in for us as kids. But the image I had was of being a blade of grass in the middle of a field,
mm-hmm.
and saying, gosh, what if I, how was it? It was like, what if I were a blade of grass in the middle of a field and I was completely happy? And then it would be like, well, how could you be completely happy being a blade of grass in the middle of a field? And then I would go, but if I were happy, it wouldn't make any, yeah, but it would be so boring. Mm-hmm. But if I were happy, well, but like, look at all the others are exactly the same. But if I were happy, mm-hmm. and it was like this, I'm sure as kids, like we haven't yet been piled on with all the stuff. Right? Yeah. So it's like that little kid way of seeing the simplicity of what we, mm-hmm. if we're lucky, mm-hmm. circle back around to mm-hmm. as adults, mm-hmm. you know, when we're practicing. Mm-hmm. Just that place of like all the conditioned ideas of what it would be to be that blade of grass. Oh my God, it would be really incredibly boring. I'd be the same as everything else. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't get to go anywhere. You know, I mean, all the stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But the if I were happy,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy.
Hmm. Well, that just seems like such a beautiful example of there's that childlike innocence being thwarted by a conditioned mind.
Learning to not
listen to that innocence, but
exactly.
learning to turn the attention to. And
exactly.
And it's exactly what was just pointed to, the simplicity of it. Oh, but I choose happiness.
Yeah.
Oh, but I choose happiness.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is it, isn't it? That really is the restraint and the religious observance, mm-hmm. because the training for so many years has been that, but what about this? But mm-hmm. what about that? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
accomplish this or be this or mm-hmm. want that or if I could only, or all those things that we're trained to turn the attention to.
Yeah.
And turning away from, if I have unconditional love, it's all taken care of in that.
Yeah.
All of it.
It's just such, there's that strong drive. I think it has to be a big deal.
Yeah.
It has to be figured out. It has to be, worked at hard. Mm-hmm. And, restraint and religious observance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great precept to
it is.
Sit with.
It really is. Because it does, I think we were talking about, it's simple but not necessarily easy. And mm-hmm. in my experience, it's not easy because of everything that's thrown at us.
Yeah.
But, you know, that place of just that, through all of it, through mm-hmm. all of it, through all of it. And I just imagine those, whatever it is, those neural pathways or those, whatever they are, retraining.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that comes up, if we bring that, I choose unconditional love to it, there, that one, we've trained through, and now this one we've trained through, and now this one, and just over time we're just wearing away that incredible draw to turn away from the present moment, to move towards separation.
Boy, and as you point to again, I mean, it's simple, but it's not easy, but that it's that continual retraining of the attention.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, as you say, recreating those new neural pathways,
mm-hmm.
and It's simple, but it requires over and over and over again training of that attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where recording and listening comes in too.
Yes.
Because of course, when we want that, when we're quote identified with that, that's great.
Yeah.
But then what about when, whatever, I don't want to, or I don't care, or it's not going to work anyway, or what?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Then there's that recording of like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and would you say just even picking that recorder up,
yeah,
I mean, is a training of the attention.
For sure.
I mean, it's just, for sure. It's just the object itself.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm turning away from this.
Yeah.
You know, conversation in the head to this object
and you know sometimes might need to flop around for a while, right? So turning on the recorder, either to record or to listen, isn't necessarily instantaneously, you know, that shift, but the willingness to do it is, you know, that is the movement.
Yeah.
And then with that faith and that patience and that, you know, whatever word you want to put there, that willingness, we know, all right, It's okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been my experience with the recorder too. You know, conditioned mind would say, well, you don't get what the mentor is, and, you know, you just, up until this point, all that recording has just been, it's just been useless.
Yeah.
And then I'll listen to older recordings, and I go, huh?
What?
Wait a minute.
Listen to her.
That sounds like a little bit of the wisdom and intelligence of the universe coming through.
Yeah. You know, Six years ago.
No, see how I've been told that I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, and so the recorder is just so invaluable in that way.
Exactly. Proof.
Yeah. Proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Scott.
This has been really helpful. So the content I'm looking at is physical appearance, and for I think since I was really little, how much that's been tied into who I am and what I'm worth. And recently I inquired in guidance about doing something about that was essentially cosmetic, and the response back, or the way I heard it anyway, was we're doing monastic practice here, you know, how do you, how do you basically put together transcending the ego and listening to self-hating voices about how you look, you know, how those two things go together, and it just was like, wham, like,
wow.
I didn't see that's what was going on, that I was listening to self-hating voices about how I looked.
Yeah.
It was like, well, there's this thing, and it would just be kind to take care of it. But the thing becoming an issue in the first place was from listening to a conversation about, you've got to do something about this, because, and then completely unexamined, because, you know, it's just assumed, well, of course you'd want to take care of that.
Right.
Well, why? Like, what's going on about it?
Yeah.
That just didn't get.
That's interesting. Yeah. So just, you know, it's just one of those wonderful examples of how that can go on. Just so, but it's me. I mean, I'm hearing this self-hating voice saying this has got to be fixed. You know, and then there's just no questioning about it.
Yeah.
And then
because it wasn't even a self-hating voice.
It's just a fact.
Yeah, right.
There's this thing.
Pretty much.
That needs to be, and then to. As one of the advantages of practice, and specifically monastic practice, is to have the access to guidance.
Uh-huh.
And then the guidance just seen, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's tough transcending the ego when you're over here listening to that thing say those same kind of things about you.
Yeah.
So it's just been interesting to watch all of that, because then it just gets thrown into a duality of like, I guess you either have to transcend the ego, and that you get to do that, or you get to look ugly. Like those things you can't take care of that and transcend the ego. You know, kind of like this thing or that.
Exactly. Yeah. Transcending the ego looks this one way.
And some kind of deprivation.
Kind of deprivation doesn't allow for.
Yeah. So to kind of talk, to go along with the conversations around the mentor. So last night I was talking to the mentor about this, really about exercise, mm-hmm. but that's like another place that it can happen. Mm-hmm. So if I look physically, yeah. exercise will make my body look a certain way, and then, and I noticed last night that the, and I've noticed before, but just as we're talking, that the mentor often is just listening, you know, mm-hmm. is reflecting back what the person in the right hand is saying, uh-huh. kind of like, you know, what we do in facilitation, uh-huh. and just kind of like, oh, and then, it, oh, okay, and then that happened, and this happened, and, oh, could you say more about that? Mm-hmm. And that's where all these things were getting revealed, uh-huh. about the appearance, uh-huh. and all these beliefs that just uh-huh. kind of get examined and then go right back down under.
Uh-huh. So the mentor was, your experience with the mentor was like in a facilitation capacity, or, mm-hmm. you know, it sounds like a lot of reflective listening.
Yeah.
You know, can you tell me more about that? And the person really getting heard.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's exactly was the experience. And it was just that process that was revealing all of these yeah. beliefs. Uh-huh. And then we would just kind of drill down, okay, so we got that part, and we drill down a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just all these things about basically, you know, this bottom thing that keeps happening, which is there's a belief that I'm not inherently good. And that I've got to do something, yeah. I've got to have something, I've mm-hmm. got to be something mm-hmm. extra mm-hmm. in order to fit, belong, be accepted yeah. kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And so physical appearance just happens to be kind of like one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of awful because when you get talked into it, you know, and it could be something around exercise that in another, coming from another place I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But if it's coming from a place of, I've got to do this in order to,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and again, could be the exact same exercise,
yeah. Yeah.
but just coming from a really different
right.
place. Yeah. And it was just so revealing to be talking and going, wow, so there's really a belief that you're not inherently good.
Yeah.
You know, and you could feel, I could feel it now, you know, that yeah. compassion just yeah. arises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to me, when we were talking about that larger perspective, mm-hmm. that movement, that's what occurs.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the You're no longer that person who believes that thing
yeah.
about themselves. You are the one witnessing
mm-hmm.
or being with.
Mm-hmm.
And then compassion just arises.
Yeah.
You feel, and then you offer what you're feeling moved to offer.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that's where a lot of that mentor kindness and compassion comes from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that relationship with the mentor is just allowing standing back, or to be able to see to be able to uncover beliefs that mm-hmm. might be under, like the same action, like, you know, as you said, exercise. It could be done for out of a place of self-hate to control the physical appearance, or it could be done for just the pure joy of mm-hmm. allowing life to move through
yes.
this form, and then there may be no consciousness about what's driving the exercise.
Yeah.
You know, just no question about it. And then, in this, but it's an entirely different activity from coming from a place of self-hate and coming from
yep.
the joy of life.
Yeah.
And having the mentor be the one that facilitates that
that
understanding,
yeah,
that
unveiling,
that
is really
unveiling,
kind of what
exactly.
I felt like we were just like pulling back a rug, and then like, okay, let's pull back another rug. And what's great, I think, what I learn a lot from, and again, the mentor to me is really a word or a concept
mm-hmm.
to describe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, what I'm practicing is constantly is I've been habitually trying to have the attention on egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and what we're learning to do is move the attention to the life perspective.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking
yeah.
about, you know, gratitude and
yeah.
compassion, and just that larger, I can see a much larger place that,
yeah.
oh my gosh, if I don't take care of this one thing, I'm not gonna, you know.
Yeah.
And that there really wasn't anything to do about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the pulling back the rugs, these things, it was just sitting with like, oh, we could really, is that true that you're not inherently good? Is that
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh my gosh, look at all the energy through,
mm-hmm.
I mean, currently and throughout our life
mm-hmm.
of, if I just do this thing without any question, mm-hmm. then I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so much illuminating in the head time and in physical behaviors time. And just seeing that, it was like, it's just like awareness is there, just kind of breaking it up. Uh-huh. You know, it's just not sitting together in that solid way anymore.
Yeah.
There's still somebody kind of going, well, I'm not sure about that, you know, or maybe just ego saying, well, I'm not totally sold, but it's not the same anymore.
Yeah.
It's broken up.
Wow. Yeah. So just really not having to do anything with this new information, you know, it doesn't mean something needs to be fixed. It's just like you said, I'm pulling back the veil and just looking at, oh my gosh, you know, to just have no idea any of this is going on and just to see it. And then would you say just in the scene of it, it starts to break up.
Exactly. I just imagine like awareness now is like fluttering in and just doing its magic on these little crusty, you know, karmic things that have just been like rocks in the middle of this, you know, whatever this is, person walking around controlling him.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing that I think dissolves those crusty rocks is that awareness kind of floating in.
Yeah. And the thing I'm struck to in what you're talking about, the mentor, is the kindness.
Yeah.
The mentor doesn't come in and say, you know what, you got a belief going on, but da da da, and you know, let's just get to the bottom of it and get it, you know, there's just that facilitating.
Yeah.
And I hear this and I hear that, you know, let's look at that, and then, and through that whole process, wow, that veil is lifted.
Yeah, it's fun because the mentor is often kind in that way, and the mentor does what is needed to be done. So sometimes there is a bit more of a smackdown. But even, you know, so most of the times it is like, hey, wake up, you're doing that thing again. You know? But again, it's coming from a place of, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it's modeled, I project from the guide. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you wake up here.
Yeah.
And you seem to need a little bit more of a, you know, bigger board this morning, you know, that kind of thing. And but I can trust that.
Yeah.
And you know it. You can feel it when it occurs.
Right.
That it's, it can feel kind of startling, but then you can feel the love.
Yeah. And would you say when there's that stronger voice or that, you know, well, hey, let's, you know, it's around something that has already been revealed or something. There's already been an awareness of that.
Yeah, we've had a couple conversations.
Yeah, exactly. But then there's been a going to sleep again. And
Well, and the other thing too, again, just whatever's needed. Because, you know, I have looked at this physical stuff before, and it sort of seems like maybe we've seen this before, but it kind of seems like new information. And it's just like, well, so the mentor is just kind of like walking us through, like maybe we've never looked at this before, because that's what was needed at that time.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked to do a smackdown,
because
somebody was still like, huh, what? You know, like, wait, what?
That's very essential too, whatever was needed at that moment.
Yeah, it's always, especially kind of looking back, it seems like it's always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, the match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Corinna. Just the last couple of weeks I've been looking at uncertainty and I think for me, part of my karma is, or this human's karma, is that there's just a lot of anxiety that comes up when there's uncertainty in my life. And, you know, it's just been a really neat process to watch the last couple of weeks, especially having some practice under my belt going into this. And life provided me with this just beautiful metaphor. It was really powerful. So great blue herons, I typically will see them in the marsh, grounded. And within the span of 6 days, I saw great blue herons in flight. And four of them set on separate days. And I just started to look at that. And, you know, a great blue heron has so much grace in flight, and they don't know where they're going to land. And for me, it was a metaphor of two things with my uncertainty was just just do right what's right in front of you. Just, you know, the great blue heron is scanning the land to look for the next place to land. And like what was talked about, just give unconditional love to whatever you're experiencing right now. It has been such a gift. When I compare it to other periods in my life where I've had a lot of anxiety around uncertainty, I'm more like a, I don't even know, you know, just a wild animal in a cage, you know, just like, what's happening? What am I going to do? I need to control this, you know? So it's just been a really beautiful experience to watch. And just hearing today about the mentor is such a good reminder that just do what's right in front of you, being aware, turning your attention to just driving your car to work or doing the dishes or putting your daughter to sleep, you know, like all of those simple things. The mentor was just telling me that, you know, and do it all with unconditional love right now. No expectations, no, you know, it's just.
So it sounds like you've just been looking at the benefits of practice and being able to see. You know, sometimes it's we don't see the effects of practice. And then we'll revisit a place that we've been to before, like you're saying, the anxiety and what arises in anxiety and uncertainty. And revisiting that place again and seeing that. In the example of the heron, the blue heron, that there was this gift, this metaphor being offered, and being able to see that and receive it, and see the beauty and grace of just of this bird being in a place of uncertainty. I don't know where I'm going to land. And still just being present to the moment, being the bird flying in grace and beauty. And to just see that possibility for your life too, just like in the putting your daughter to sleep, and you know, just doing what's up next. It's that same beauty and grace is available.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is the simplicity of this practice. You know, it can be that simple.
Yeah.
And. So I'm just overflowing with gratitude these last couple of weeks for this practice and our guide and the Sangha and, like you said, just, you know, the fruition of this practice, you know, growing inside of this person and just honoring, you know, all the self-discipline and honoring all of the showing up that I've done.
Exactly. That's the word that was dropping in here too, is the showing up. And that's in itself, that's seemingly simple. You know, just show up. And it's profound in its effects of doing that, having the willingness to do that. Cameron.
The what was described about the experience of having things, you know, unveiled with the recording and listening is one that I've been having lately, and it just seems like giving the person the opportunity to speak whatever is going on is such a generosity that she did not have that in her karma. It wasn't allowed. And so just allowing the person to speak has revealed so much of the conditioning that has been there. And just that being able to be with the person, allowing that and seeing that there's nothing wrong, that everything is fine, and the whole thing about the judgment or whatever about this, whatever has been something that hasn't been accepted, is just conditioning. that, you know, it's just been, and also just in being in that situation, seeing the being clearly and with love and compassion, just pieces of the life have been kind of dropping in and seeing how this affected that, and I lost my train of thought there. It's just been a beautiful experience of kind of like pulling everybody back in home, you know, and seeing that it's really not fixing anything or changing anything. It's just being present and accepting the life that's right there, without the lens of conditioning overviewing over the eyes, and just allowing what is it just, there's just some level of transformation and acceptance that just happens. There's no changing anything consciously. It just is changed by the awareness or the acceptance.
As you, you're describing an experience of just picking up the recorder and speaking into it, and being able to do something that was denied, it sounds like, for a long time. Just being able to say what's so, and just have it recorded, and to be able to see the wholeness of all of it. It's to have parts of the life start to just fall into place in that, you did not use this word, but what came in for me is it's a witnessing, witnessing of a person's life, and to have that done through the recorder in a kind and loving way, and to just to bring it around to a wholeness or to
And I'm taking a series of workshops where we're given assignments to do, and the one that was really powerful recently was to look at a situation where there was a lot of emotion, or, you know, like you were real sad or angry, and to it was a visualization, so, you know, be in that situation and kind of feel what you felt, and then after that to record about it. And so what the feeling was frustration, anger, and hurt, all kind of in the same thing. And what I saw in talking about it, the person who talked didn't have this awareness, but what came through was the frustration, the anger, and the hurt came from feeling unable to speak her truth. Unable, you know, to say what was on her mind. It wasn't tolerated in various situations. Even today, not today so much as recently, being in situations where it feels like the person doesn't have the ability to speak for herself. It's like it's just shut down. And so before, I wouldn't have known that was what was under it. It just was there. So clearly, in speaking, the speaking was what was always missing, you know. And so it was just a big insight, and I just see that tool now so much, that it's giving me something, and it has been giving me something, but I haven't been seeing it as that. I don't know exactly, but, and it was just in doing that all that just came, got revealed.
So just seeing clearly how this has provided something that's been needed, something that's been just really desired or necessary with, you know, to just hear everything or to be able to express and talk and be heard.
Yeah.
And the recorder offers that.
She learned that it wasn't safe.
She learned,
And it wasn't at a certain point. But it, you know, that to talk to herself on a recorder, nobody's going to jump on her.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now, there has been conditioning that, you know, from all of that that was, that would get in there. But I can see now that that's a simple thing that that she can be allowed to do.
Yeah.
And it's going to change
her
experience.
Right.
She's going to feel like somebody cares just to listen.
And as we can say, you know, we always say we can see how and why so much resistance arises around doing it. There's this, you know, completely simple and loving tool to end suffering. And it's like what was just spoken about, you know, just showing up. Keep showing up with that recorder.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep showing up and grabbing the willingness to participate in whatever ways that are being recommended, because there's always something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all.